So good to be here with all of you. Thank God for every one of you. It's so good to see familiar faces and people that I've been seeing here at this camp meeting since the 80s when I started coming, and some familiar faces are still here. I appreciate that. Amen. It's good to be around faithful people. And God is certainly faithful. Amen. He's not to be compared. You know, you can't really match the Lord. His goodness just keeps coming, and he doesn't quit. God just doesn't quit guiding and helping and shepherding our souls. I appreciate all of his goodness this morning. And again, it's good to be here. I appreciate the message last night. That was challenging. And a message on mercy. And it really challenged my heart when the brother started talking about Saul and how God took his mercy away. And, you know, that just made me want to be careful. Made me want to be careful with what I do and how I respond to the moving of the Spirit of God. And I appreciate when God moves and God's Spirit talks to us. We're a highly privileged people when we hear from God. And we want to respond to that and work with the Spirit of God. Let him work with us. And we'll never be sorry for those things. We appreciate all the blessings here. And I was thinking about mercy. You know, the brother mentioned that. And a beautiful story about his father having mercy on him. And I was thinking about when I first started coming here, I met my dear wife in the dining hall. I still thank God for dining halls. I like them. I like to eat. One of the sisters in our congregation, Sister Jessica Whitener, wrote a song about me. And she wrote, "Where the pastor is, there will the food be." And I still treat her right. I still do that. But I met my wife in the dining hall here, and Sister Shelley Prinky introduced my wife and I, and there was another brother there my wife didn't know, and she wasn't real comfortable with him. She didn't know me either, but she seemed to be comfortable with me. And Sister Shelley got up and left, so it was me and my wife and this other brother. And then I started to get up and leave, and she kicked me under the table and shook her head. Like, don't leave me here with this other guy that I don't know. And being the merciful guy that I am, I sat back down and visited with her and him. But mercy's a good thing. I want to look at 2 Chronicles with you. Actually, 1 Chronicles, I'm sorry. 1 Chronicles chapter 13 and verse 13. My wife, family, and I have been moving. We moved across town, and it's been a busy month. And I was reading this late at night. It seems like that's when I get into the scripture anymore, with the schedule we've had. And just looking at this scripture about David and the ark and the celebration and the trouble they had with the man that tried to steady the ark, and then leaving the ark here with Obed-Edom. And this verse just stood out to me. Verse 13 and 14. So David brought not the ark home to himself to the city of David, but he carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. And the ark of God remained with the family of Obed-Edom in his house 3 months. And the Lord blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that he had. And that just stood out to me as I laid down in my bed thinking about that verse and rolling it around in my mind, just thinking, Lord, I want that to be the story of my life, that you blessed me and all that I have, that you blessed my life. And I just, this is one thing God's been stirring on me all year long this year. God keeps working with me about this fact that God adds to our lives. And God intervenes to our lives in a good way. A few Sundays ago, I preached both messages on the good hand of God. As mentioned in Ezra and Nehemiah, God had his hand on them for good. And they were able to do great things because God's hand was on them. And God's hand is a good hand this morning. And I appreciate his goodness to us. And God works in many, many different ways in our lives. And I believe the older I get, the more I see it, God is concerned about every area of your life. God is concerned about your physical needs. He's concerned about your financial needs. He's concerned about your emotional needs. And we all know he's concerned about our spiritual needs. God is concerned about everything in your life. And God has manifold grace for you that reaches out, excuse me, to every part of your life. I appreciate the grace of God. Amen. The grace of God just keeps reaching out. Amen. So we want to look at this thought of the blessing, and I don't want to spend too much time on Obed-Edom, and I believe that he kept his hands off the ark. I believe that's one reason why God blessed him. Amen. The other man tried to put his hand to the ark and steady it, and this man, I believe, kept his hands off, and that's why God blessed him. And there's a good lesson there that God doesn't want us trying to change the message. He doesn't want us trying to push things around and make them suit us, but leave the message right where it is. And I labor very intensely to make sure to leave the scriptures right where they are, to try to understand where they are and what exactly God means, because that's where the blessing is. If we'll accept it just like it is, accept it just where God put it and not try to move it around to where we want it. Amen. Wholehearted obedience has extraordinary benefits this morning. Wholehearted obedience. Excuse me. I thank God I'm feeling a lot better this morning than I did last night. I refused to shake hands with a few brothers because I was trying to spare them the sickness that I have. I feel a lot better today. I thank God for it. Amen. Appreciate it. So Joshua, I'm not going to turn there. You know the story of Jericho, and I'm talking about this thought of wholehearted service. That's one of the ways that God gives us his blessing, is when our whole heart is given to him. That's how the blessings stack up in our lives. And if you look at Joshua and the battle of Jericho, as they did that marching, they marched 7 days around that city, and they had instructions to march 7 days and seven times on the seventh day, and then blow the trumpet and then shout, right? That was the instructions that God gave them. And they marched all 7 days and nothing happened, right? Man, I'm trying to get to a point here where the last little bit of obedience takes us from nothing to great things. Amen. The last step of obedience, we got to make sure we close up the breaches and do everything that God says. Amen. So when they marched seven times on the seventh day, still nothing happened. And when they blew the trumpets, still nothing happened. But when they finally did the last step of obedience, God moved greatly, and the walls fell because they wholeheartedly did what God said. They did a complete work of obedience to God, and that's where we go from not being blessed to being highly blessed, is when we do what God says to the fullest and do everything that he says. Amen. So, extraordinary benefits. I appreciate that this morning. Ezra, as he traveled there, he had a four-month trip from Iraq, from around Baghdad. I believe the old Babylon was not too far from Baghdad. It took him 4 months to get there to Jerusalem, and he was happy about that. He was happy that the trip went so well, and I believe if you can go on a four-month trip and still be happy when you're done, it's a miracle. Amen. It's a miracle when you can go on that long of a trip. God provided strength. Traveling is wearisome. Amen. But it was the good hand of God upon him is what he said that brought us through this trip. God supplied their food and their water and their strength for that journey. And they made good time by the hand of God. Amen. I appreciate all that this morning. I'm still talking this morning about being blessed in all things by the good hand of God. And there's some triggers for it, and we mentioned one already, the wholehearted service, and we'll get into some others. But I want to talk to you about three different blessings that God gives to the people of God. There's many, many more we could look at, but I don't want to do an exhaustive study because it would wear people out, right? Amen. So we want to look at just a few blessings that God gives. God adds to our lives. That's a blessing. God protects us. That's a blessing. And God makes a way for us. All those are blessings from God. I want to look at those with you this morning by the help of God. I don't believe we even have to turn to this scripture. You know the scripture, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. The Bible says that if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, God will add to you. And I think when God adds to you, that's the blessing of God. Amen. When God adds to your life and God brings things into your life that you didn't bring into your life yourself, that's a blessing. Amen. That's a blessing. And there's a trigger there, if you will, when Jesus said, if you'll seek first the kingdom of God, then God will add to your life. The blessings are contingent upon the seeking. And this gospel way is not complicated. It's not difficult to understand. It's very easy. As one brother said, it's very easy to understand and sometimes hard to accept, right? Amen. It's easy to understand that, excuse me, God blesses those that seek him. The Hebrew writer said, if we diligently seek him, he will reward us. There is a reward for serving God, both in this world and in the next world. Amen. I got saved in 1989 when I was 16 years old, and I'm not sorry one bit. Not sorry I got saved. I'm very thankful that I got saved. My wife testifies very often about growing up there in Mansfield in the Church of God there with Brother Rogers, and Brother Borders was her pastor for a little while, and then Brother Mike Rogers, and she grew up with a lot of family. There's a lot of family in the congregation, a lot of cousins she was there with, and my wife decided to serve God, and their cousins did not, and her life is very, very different from the life of her cousins. Sin has made a wreck of so many lives of her cousins. Some of them a lot younger than me died already, and sin made a terrible mess of their lives, but my wife testifies often that she got saved, and that is what made the difference, and she says, hey, it wasn't because I was better than anybody else, but because I chose God. My life turned out totally different from these other ones, and they were all part of the same family. I'm thankful this morning the seeking is a trigger for the blessings of God. The Hebrew writer is saying, again, I'll repeat it, if we seek him diligently, he'll reward us. I was talking to a man in Finley not too long ago, and he was talking to me about monks and all through the ages, you know, monks kind of separating themselves and having real rigid schedules, reading, praying, singing, meditating, reading, praying, singing, all the things they did, very structured. And I said, you know, I think going to camp meeting is kind of like that. Very structured. Sit and listen to the word of God and sing and meditate and take notes. I said, it's about the same. He said, well, I'll have to think about that. Amen. But camp meeting is a way to seek the Lord. It's an effort that we make to seek the Lord. As a brother already said, we get very tired. It's difficult to get here. There's no doubt about it. Lots of things press in to keep you from coming here. Amen. Responsibilities and family and jobs and tiredness and on we can go. Things stop you or try to stop you from coming to camp meeting. But it's a way to seek the Lord. Amen. You come and hear and sit under the Spirit of God. Amen. And God rewards you for it. Amen. God rewards those that seek Him. That scripture there in Matthew, God rewards you and adds physical things to your life. When I was young, my wife and I were married. We lived there in Maryland, and life was expensive, and I didn't grow up there, and I wasn't really prepared to live there. It's a very fast pace, and you gotta have a good job to survive. I didn't have a very good job, and we were just hanging on financially and doing all we could. But my wife wanted to stay home with our baby, and we felt like that's what God wanted us to do. And it's, so there was financial difficulties, but we were seeking God. Amen. We were seeking God first, and we didn't want to get to the point where we were so busy we didn't have time for God. Amen. We didn't want to get so busy trying to make money that we didn't have time for God, And I wasn't making very much money at all back then, and a car kept breaking down, and we had to put it on a credit card to get it fixed, and my credit card balance just kept going up, and it was almost $2,500 at that point, and that was a lot of money. Amen. It was a lot more back then than it is now. Amen. And we just opened our mail one day, and a family member had sent me a check for $2,500. And she said, I was going to invest in McDonald's, but I decided to give it to you. And it paid off that credit card. That's an addition God added to our lives. Because we were seeking Him. Amen. God did that. We were blessed. We're still blessed to have 5 wonderful children. Amen. God gave us 5 children in 11 years when we were younger. And we had, a lot of little kids running around. But we didn't hardly have to buy any clothes. It was the same thing, that period of our life. We trying to make sure we kept seeking the Lord, made time for God, made time for worship, made time for camp meeting, and clothes are expensive. But we didn't hardly have to buy clothes. They showed up by the garbage bag full. My kids were dressed pretty well without spending much money on it. I believe that was an addition. It's a blessing from God. We've had several families that we were close to through the years. One was in the church with us in Mansfield, and one in Findlay the one in Findlay, they've got a boy that's a little older than our youngest son. And then they got another boy, a little younger than our youngest son. And their oldest boy will grow out of clothes, and they give us those. And then our boy will grow out, and we give them back to them. And God just provided many, many things God provided for. Those are all additions. I love the story about Jethro sitting down with Moses and Moses telling him everything God did. I think that was a good day. Sitting and telling stories. I like hearing stories, don't you? Amen. Hear people tell what God did. And here's another story. God providing things. And we had one vehicle when we were younger there. My wife and I, we had one vehicle to share. And we got to the point where he wanted a second vehicle. And I told my wife, I said, I really like to have a Jeep. I like Jeeps. Really like to have one. And she was reading George Mueller at the time, stories about him praying all those funds in for those orphanages in England. And she, I didn't know this, that she was reading that stuff. And she just looked at me and she said, I'll pray you get a free Jeep. And that was a little hard on my pride, you know. I was like, well, I'll pay for my Jeep. I don't need a free Jeep. But they had one for sale at my job. I worked at a factory in Galleon, Ohio. They had a sales rep in Indiana. They had a Jeep for 5 years, and they were trying to sell it as a corporation. I said, I'll buy that. As soon as I sell my one property I was trying to sell, I said, I'll buy it. I said, as soon as I sell, and it wasn't selling. The property just wasn't selling. And one day I just told my boss, I said, forget it. I said, I don't think my property's going to sell. And she looked at me and she said, well, we decided to give it to you for a bonus. So I got a free Jeep. It's good to have a praying wife. Talking about God adding. God adds a lot of things to our lives. Amen. God adds a lot of things. Appreciate that. God has added some friends and new people to the congregation. I got two boys, one's in high school, one's in college, and they both work at Little Caesars, right across from the church. And they've got three or four friends coming to church from Little Caesars now. Wonderful young men. And I keep telling people, I said, these would make a wonderful youth group. They all get saved and good kids. And they'll come to Sunday night service. And then they'll come to our house after service and they stay all night. And they all work second shift. Even my son's there. They work second shift, so they don't get up early. And sometimes I'll get up to go to work. It'll be 6:30 in the morning. I'll get up, and they're all still awake. And they just laugh at me and smile and wave at me. And I say, you guys are crazy. But God has added some friends and young men to the congregation. And they're not saved yet, but I think God's working on that. Amen? God's working on that. That's a wonderful thing. And I told the church in Finley and not too long ago, I believe the church, the congregation is made up of unsaved people, saved people, mature Christians, immature Christians. The congregations are that way. Amen. I'm thankful for every sinner that comes to the door. Amen. And I'm thankful that they all show up and I know that they're not living right. But I don't want them to quit coming because of that. Amen. Keep coming. Keep coming in. Man, God adds to us. I appreciate that. I want to look at Genesis chapter 4. Genesis 4. Here we see Cain. I'm shifting gears here. God not only adds to our life, and that's a blessing, but God gives us protection. God protects us. That's a blessing. Genesis 4 and verse 15. The Lord said to him, therefore, whosoever slays Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod, on the east of Eden. Here we see a marvelous picture of the grace of God. Amen. The grace of God extended to a murderer. God offered this man protection. You got to think about that. I believe you think about it for a little bit and it'll sink in. This is an amazing grace. Man, there's not very many people that sink that low to kill their own brother. Man, murder's bad enough, but killing your own brother. And this murderer just tells God, my punishment is more than I can bear. And God had mercy. Like our brother preached last night, God had mercy and the grace of God extended to Cain and God protected this man. Set a mark on him for protection. It's amazing. Amen. Our God is amazing. You know, God's love reaches out no matter what your past is, what you've done. Thank God for that tonight, this morning. God's love is amazing this morning. But God protects us, and I just felt like God wanted us to look at that and remind you of that this morning at various levels. You know, the devil complained, and I get I find humor in that when the devil's complaining about Job. I can't get to him. You got a hedge around him. I can't do anything with him. I believe he was whining a little. And that makes me smile. I can't do anything with this man. You got a hedge around him. God was protecting Job. And really, I believe that we may never know how much God protected us in this life. I don't think we'll ever know how much God protected us. Amen. He shepherds our souls. He takes care of our spiritual needs. Amen. Protection for the soul this morning. I appreciate it. We buy insurance, and it's kind of sad how much money we spend on insurance. And if you add all that you pay for insurance up, it might discourage you a little bit. Amen. But we pay insurance because we want protection from car crashes and theft. And amen. We want some kind of protection. I believe God gives us very good spiritual insurance. We need protection in our souls. We are sheep. Sheep don't have very good defense systems. Amen. We need protection in our soul this morning. I believe Jesus was talking about spiritual protection in the Sermon on the Mount when he said, if you'll do what I say, there's the price for the insurance this morning. Yet do what he says. You got to make sure you're clear with God. That's the price that you pay. Then the insurance you get is when the storm comes, your soul is safe. You're promised safety in the storm, that your life will not fall apart like those that disobeyed God. Amen. I believe we need protection against division. Division is an awful thing. I've had people come to me and say, well, if you knew what I knew about this brother or that brother. You know what I think about that? I can't verify everything I hear. So I don't know if you took things right or whatever, you know. But one thing I know, division is wrong. I know that for sure. Division's wrong this morning. It's a sad state in our country, in our world, when people look at Christianity and see fussing. There was a few years that the University of Findlay put on a church fair. They have international students from 30 or 40 countries, and they put on a church fair where you could go and invite these international students to your church and answer questions they had. And Brother Brian Whitener and I went for a few years. We set up a table and invited people to the church, and we had one young man. He was Chinese or some country over there, I forget, I'm not sure. Anyway, he looked me in the eye and he said, does your church just fight with everybody else? And I thought, Lord, have mercy. I could tell he had a bad taste in his mouth for Christianity. Lord, help us. Amen. We need protection against division. The devil wants to divide our homes. Amen. Get children against the parents. Parents against the children. Jesus warned us of that, didn't he? Sometimes the people you live with become your enemies. Sadly, we need protection. And I'm thankful this morning that God protects Mount Zion. That's one thing we know for sure. The Bible said that there'd be glory on this mountain and God would put a defense on the glory. Isn't that good? Protection from God. I'm thankful that if we have a desire to serve God, that you can stay the course, you can stay saved, and you can keep the glory in your soul. Amen. There's nothing that can take it from you but yourself. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm thankful that God has mercy, you know, on certain times and situations. You know, sometimes God has mercy on the people that are sick and heals them, and sometimes he lets them suffer. As a brother said last night, he has mercy on whom he'll have mercy. Right? Man, we don't get to choose all the events that happen in our lives. We don't choose how we die. We don't. We don't know if it'll be peacefully while we're sleeping. That's what we hope for, right? Good health all the way up to the end and die peacefully while you're sleeping. Or if it'll be like my dear mother-in-law suffering with Alzheimer's for 6 years or 7 years before she passed. We don't know. Amen. God doesn't guarantee us a life without problems. Amen. God doesn't even guarantee us protection for our physical life. Sometimes he has mercy and does, but he doesn't always. Been lots of martyrs that God did not protect their physical life, but he kept their soul. And Jesus said that's the important thing. Amen. Protection for spiritual things. I'm glad God has protection for the church this morning. For the gospel, for the people of God. Praise the Lord. God will protect us. Amen. I want to go to my last point here this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Blessings. Protection for the Spirit is a blessing. God adding to our life is a blessing. And God makes ways for us. God makes a way. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. One songwriter said he's a way maker, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Familiar passage. Verse 10. That's not the verse I want. Anyway. The Bible said he'll make a, there it is, verse 13. I don't know how I got verse 10. There has no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above what you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape. God makes a way when there wasn't one. God adds blessings when they weren't there before. I believe Jesus reminded the churches in Revelation, he said, I'm the creator. And I believe he didn't only want us to focus on what he did back in Genesis, but God is still making things for us. He makes ways for us. He makes blessings for us. He brings things for us that weren't there before. Thank God. Here it's talking about temptation, but I don't believe that God is just limited to making a way during an hour of temptation. God makes a way for us in lots of things. little and big. We were getting ready to move a few weeks ago, and I told my wife, I said, I need a dolly. I used to tough it out and manhandle all the appliances. I've gotten smarter. Don't do that anymore. I told her, I said, we need a dolly. You know what? In a day or two, our new neighbor, he came over, big guy, full of energy, and comes in his big pickup truck, diesel, real loud pickup. He said, hey, you need any help? I said, well, I think we got the help part covered. He said, do you need anything? I said, well, I need a dolly. He said, well, I got a dolly. And I got moving blankets and whatever you need. That was a blessing from God. Little. It's a little blessing, but it's a blessing. Amen. God's mindful of everything in our lives. That's the kind of God we serve. He's mindful of whatever concerns you today. Whatever's on your mind today, God's concerned about it. God makes a way. He's told us in the Bible in several places, he said, I open doors that nobody can shut. I open doors that nobody can shut. There was somebody wanting to give my wife something one time. This woman was getting ready to pass away, and she wanted my wife to have something of hers. And this woman's son was upset. He didn't want my wife to have those things. He wanted them himself. And she just looked at him and said, this is my stuff. I'll do what I want. Amen. Amen. God opened that door. That man couldn't shut it. God calmed the sea for the disciples. He made a way for them. I had a friend that went to West Virginia University in Morgantown. His parents had saved a certain amount of money for him, and he had a budget. And he told me after he graduated, he said, you know, every month I had just enough. That's divine. That's a divine thing. Amen. That's God making a way. God provides for your needs no matter what your salary is. That's God making a way. God provides for your needs. God makes a way. When we lived in West Virginia there in Ravenswood, when I was growing up, that's where I went to high school. And we lived 13 miles from a traffic light, way out in the middle of nowhere. And the house we lived in was a one-bedroom house. And the family that lived there before us had seven kids that they raised in that one-bedroom house. God made a way for them. Amen. They all came out alive. Amen. I love reading about old pioneer preachers, you know, how God would tell them to go preach and they had no money, and they go to the train station with no money, stand in line, still no money, and someone come and shove money in their hand. God made a way. The congregation in Findlay just finished a $40,000 remodeling project. We've got a little dining area now and an office and a full bathroom. And we had no money starting that project. But I wanted a dining hall. Can't be a church of God without a dining hall. Amen. We had no money and no time. But I told the saints, I said, we're going to step out in faith and do what we can as we can. It took a few years, but God started providing. You know, at the beginning of the project, we were doing all the work ourselves. What little help we had there, the brothers, and little time, and things really stretched out. But you know, by the end of the project, God was providing, and we had contractors from the community that weren't saved, that were volunteering, and God was sending money in from out of state and other places, and we were able to hire things done. Man, God was good to us. God made a way. Amen. My parents taught me to have faith. It's one of the good heritages I have from mom and dad. My dad trusted God. One time he lost a job and he was not worried about it. He knew God was going to take care of him. And he even had a friend that said, "Mark, aren't you worried?" He said, "No, God will take care of me." And God did. There was a lot of times God had answered prayer for my mom and dad. I appreciate the heritage of seeing those things. They needed a vehicle one time and they made it a matter of prayer. And my grandmother called my dad and said, "Hey, we want to fly you down to Florida and buy you a car." So they bought tickets for me and my twin brother and my dad to go down to Florida. They bought us a car and we drove home. It was a nice Nissan pickup. God provided. God is good. Amen. We start out the message this morning with Obed-Edom and God blessing everything. All that he had was blessed. I just believe it, closing this morning, that serving God is the best life in this world. It's the best way to live. And I believe that the more we trust God with every area of our life, the more our life will be blessed. Amen. The more we humble ourselves and say, "God, I need you as a parent," the more our children will be blessed. Amen. God's ways are best. I appreciate God's goodness this morning. How is it with us? God bless in every area of your life. You might say, "Brother Josh, I don't feel like I'm blessed in every area of my life." You know, I can't promise you there's no hardship coming your way. But I can promise you that God will be with you. The Bible says that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers out of them all. Man, we've got a dear sister at home that seems like week after week she's got tragedy in her family. Amen. All kinds of hardships and things come her way and things stack up on her. And my son-in-law quoted me that scripture that many are the afflictions of the righteous. And I said, "You know, that reminds me of Sister Linda. She got afflictions all the time. Just things go wrong in her family and her life, but God helps her through it." Amen. God helps her through it. People of God are blessed above all people on the earth. Amen. The church is blessed. Amen. We'll ask you to stand this morning. If you got a need, the altars are open. If you have a need to pray, Father, we thank you, Lord, for this.